Hello, I'm Chris Basden, and welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. Today, we're going to talk about healthcare reform with Eddie Adkins. Hi, Eddie. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good.
So, Eddie, let's start off with this. Will you tell our audience just a little bit about who you are and why you're super familiar with the healthcare reform process?
Sure. I'm a partner with the Washington National Tax Office of Grant Thornton. My specialty area is the taxation of employee compensation and benefits. So obviously, healthcare is a big benefit provided by employers. So that's what's gotten me so involved in healthcare reform.
So what is the state of healthcare reform right now? Obviously, there was a lot of political maneuverings earlier in the year, and it seems like to the layperson, I think that not a lot's going on right now. Am I wrong about that? Am I right? What's the state of healthcare reform right now?
Well, Chris, it's a great question, and it's a really easy question to answer right now. Right now, there's not a lot going on with healthcare reform. In fact, there's really nothing going on because the total focus right now is on tax reform. So we're really not seeing anything on healthcare reform at the moment.
Okay. So then the obvious follow-up is, when do you think it might come back up again?
Well, I'll start by saying I think it will come back up again because Republicans control Congress. We have a Republican in the White House, and they don't like the Affordable Care Act. So I don't think they're ready to give up. As we know, there have been a number of attempts to modify, repeal, replace the Affordable Care Act earlier this year, and none of those have succeeded. I don't think we're going to see Congress and the president giving up on that. So I think it will come back up. And when will it come back up? I think as soon as something happens with tax reform, it's going to come back up. So I would say sometime in 2018.
This is a political question, so I know it's difficult to answer something like this, but there will be midterm elections next year, right? I mean, will that influence the timing of it, do you think?
I think the midterm elections will influence the timing of it. So it's really interesting to think through that. I think that the Republicans really want to see something done with healthcare reform because the voters who support them have expected them to do something with the Affordable Care Act. Remember that President Trump said on day one the Affordable Care Act would go away, and that didn't happen. And, you know, really the Republicans have campaigned on eliminating the Affordable Care Act. So I think they feel the pressure to really deliver on that promise, and they want to get that done before the midterms.
Absolutely. If healthcare reform does come back up, based on the previous attempts that we've seen, what kind of proposals could we see, and what are maybe some of the details of those do you think practitioners should be paying attention to?
I do think that a lot of the specific provisions we've seen in the proposed legislation earlier in the year will come back up again. And just to highlight a few of those, one of the big aspects of the Affordable Care Act was what we call the employer mandate and the individual mandate. Those are provisions that say taxes have to be paid by employers and individuals if they don't carry their own weight with respect to health care. So specifically, if an employer doesn't offer health care or offers inadequate health care, employer has to pay a tax. If the individual doesn't have coverage, the individual has to pay a tax unless they meet certain exemptions from that requirement. And in every piece of proposed legislation we've seen earlier in the year, both of those would be repealed. So I don't think there's any doubt that if the Republicans are successful in making modifications to the Affordable Care Act, both of those mandates will go away. And so that's interesting, particularly, I think, the individual mandate going away, because that creates a problem which I think then has to be dealt with, in that if you don't require people to have coverage, then you're going to have healthier people who opt out of the insurance market. And what does that mean? Well, if you don't have healthy people in the insurance market, you only have sicker individuals, and the premiums go way up. That's a big concern of the insurance companies, by the way. So one of the things that I think we'll see in the provisions, and we've seen it earlier in provisions, is how do you deal with that? So you'll have ideas like, well, maybe for people who drop out of the insurance market, if they come back in, they have to pay a premium a premium for being out of the insurance market. So, for example, in House legislation earlier this year, that would have required insurance companies to charge individuals who have been out of the insurance market 30% more than they would otherwise have to pay. So there'll be those kinds of things to deal with. So those are some of the major things, certainly on the tax front, that we've seen. You've also got issues like what's called essential health benefits. Under the Affordable Care Act, insurance companies aren't allowed to write policies that are sort of skinny policies that don't cover things like maternity care, hospital care, et cetera. Republicans want to see much more of a market approach where you and I could go into the market and sort of buy a tailored policy that just covers what we want it to cover. So, for example, a person who says, I don't need maternity care, I don't want to have to pay a premium for a policy that covers that. I want to pay a lower premium, get a policy that doesn't cover that. Republicans want to see that kind of sort of open marketplace. And so that's another big issue that I think will resurface. Some people advocate leaving that up to the states to figure out what to do in terms of essential health benefits. So I guess those are some examples of issues that we're going to see.
Are there any particular types of CPAs, whether it be practice area or clients that they focus on, particular industries that do you think should really be paying particular attention to the discussions about this? Or the folks that'll be CPAs that'll be most impacted by changes, I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
Right. I guess it's a really good question. I tend to think that this is very far reaching in that healthcare is an issue for every individual. You know, people may choose to have coverage or not have coverage, but it's really an issue for every individual. So I think every CPA with their clients really has to be, I think, focused on this, whether it's an individual client or a corporate or a partnership client or self-employed individual, both from the employer side, do we offer coverage? What does that coverage look like? To the individual, you know, do we have coverage? What kind of risk are we taking on if we don't have coverage? So I really think it's so far-reaching just because every one of us has to think about healthcare.
Absolutely. And I would, it's interesting that you were mentioning about the like people in finance departments, CFOs, people on the corporate side, they need to care about this too, right? I mean, this is something that could impact them and their costs, right?
Absolutely. Right. So I think healthcare cost is very significant. Everyone worries about healthcare inflation. And so there are various reasons to really pay close attention to this, including if you're a corporate employer and you're providing health benefits, what's going to be the impact on cost? So you're looking at what twists and turns healthcare reform may have and what impact that does have on what the costs are. I will say, though, that I'll make a couple points. One, we refer to this as healthcare reform. You know what this is really all about is healthcare insurance reform. This is really all about how do people get insurance for healthcare. It really isn't about the healthcare itself. So I think that's a really important point to keep in mind. And I will go a step further and say that most of the controversy, I really think, is about health insurance for individuals who don't have it through an employer, who don't have it through a government program like Medicare, that really have to go out and get it on their own. And what does it cost them? Does the government provide them with assistance, like for lower income individuals, in the form of like a tax credit? By the way, that's giving lower income individuals a tax credit is not very controversial at this point. What's a little bit controversial is how you structure that tax credit, but the existence of a tax credit is generally, Republicans do, not all Republicans, but a lot of Republicans actually support that. So it's a lot about the people who don't have employer coverage. So I would say from a corporate perspective and the benefits you provide to employees, and this would be true of partnerships that provide benefits to employees, even self-employed individuals who provide benefits to employees, you know, they're probably going to keep doing pretty much what they've been doing, no matter what happens with healthcare reform, because they need to be competitive in the employment marketplace. So even if Let's say the legislation says plans don't have to cover certain benefits. I'll go back to my maternity example. I think most employer plans will continue to provide those benefits, because if you don't, you're not very competitive in the market for people to attract and retain people.
What question or questions are you getting the most from your clients right now?
Well, one question is, and this is from the employer perspective, okay, mm-hmm. is, am I going to have to keep doing that nasty information reporting to the IRS? This is it's called a Form 1095-C that employers have to issue. I should say it's large employers, which is defined as 50 or more full-time plus full-time equivalent employees. Mm-hmm. Those forms are very difficult to fill out. A lot of data. I think employers have kind of gotten used to it, but still, it's a big burden. So that's one of the questions, especially as we look at January rolling around, and that's when they're due to be given to employees. So it's like, well, am I going to have to keep doing that if we get some kind of healthcare reform? You know, the answer to that is probably would have – first of all, I don't think anything's going to happen in time to save us for this upcoming January 2018 filing season. But even if there's healthcare reform later on, it looks like there would still be an employer reporting requirement. Maybe not as extensive, but it would probably still be there. So that's really a big question. You know, the other big question is, what do you think is going to happen, which is what we've been talking about today. So those are the key questions, I think.
And what can practitioners do to stay ahead of what's going on right now?
Well, that's a challenge. So my advice would be, read the newspaper every day, because you never know when attention is going to get turned back to healthcare reform. So, you know, we might go a month or two and not hear much, and then suddenly, you know, it comes to the surface again. So I think turn the TV on, listen to the news, read the newspapers, read the various sources of information, like through the AICPA. The AICPA is very much on top of healthcare reform, so it's a great place to get information. But really stay informed, be proactive, because I think you do want to be in the know. It's a big issue. So you want to be in the know. You want to keep posted on everything.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us today, Eddie.
You're very welcome. A pleasure.
And thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in today.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.